Welcome to CERT's podcast series, Security for Business Leaders. The CERT program is part of the Software Engineering Institute, a federally funded research and development center at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You can find out more about us at CERT.org. Show notes for today's conversation are available at the podcast website. My name is Julia Allen. I'm a senior researcher at CERT, working on security governance and software assurance. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Chris May, the technical manager of CERT's workforce development team. Today, Chris and I will be discussing how security and IT professionals can be much better prepared to respond to incidents through scenario-based training. So welcome, Chris. Really glad to have you with us today.
Thanks, Julia. Glad to be here, too.
So what do you see as some of the key issues when you're faced with training security and IT staff to be as well prepared as they can be when a real incident hits?
Well, I think just having been immersed in training in various ways over the past 10 years at CERT, in my prior life working as a computer systems communications officer in the Air Force, I've kind of experienced a lot of different, some very effective and some not so effective ways of preparing my troops. And if I kind of tend to have a more military perspective, forgive me, but that's kind of the perspective I'm coming from, is that preparedness or readiness really results in experience and how much practice and experience you have in preparing yourself to respond to a given event. And so in training, there's kind of the crawl, walk, run phase, that, you know, kind of process that I look at when I'm trying to produce readiness in personnel. And the first area, crawl, is essentially you got to get people aware of the situation and kind of introduced to the subject or the topic. Probably the most traditional means of preparing someone in this crawl phase is just general classroom-based training, right? And classroom-based training definitely has an absolute place in preparedness. It gets people in a, you know, kind of out of their normal work environment and into a, you know, dedicated time, hopefully a good instructor, you know, good curriculum. The problem with that approach is that it's a moment in time. So as soon as they leave that classroom-based training, they have, you know, they start losing what they learned, and in 6 months they probably lost half or more of what they learned, and the skills that they were introduced to they probably don't recall, and they have to refer back to any of the documentation if they haven't used that daily in their normal, you know, in their normal routine or their job. So in order to allow them to kind of have a better retention and mastery of the stuff that they were introduced to in the crawl phase, we kind of use a web-based or a maintenance kind of approach where we have, for example, we have the CERT's virtual training environment, the VTE, which allows people to kind of retain knowledge that they may have received initially in a classroom setting. They're able to log into this website, and they can, you know, they can take the class that they sat in again, and they can even go through some of the labs and watch instructors give them demos. But that's, you know, that's kind of to not only, you know, retain what they learned, but to expand upon it. But again, that's just directed towards individuals in that phase, in that walk phase.
Right, and of course, you know, as we know, this is a team sport, right?
So exactly. And so in the real world, when you're having to respond to cyber events or just general security issues, you don't do it in a vacuum. You don't do it in your own sandbox, right? So typically you're going to have all the policies, the procedures, what I like to refer to as kind of the fog of war. You know, it's not everything is kind of set up for you in a nice little classroom lab document, you know, that takes you through a very confined, you know, task. You have to be able to respond. And the best way from my military background that I've ever seen in the military is this is how they prepare people, is they do something called they train as they fight, right? Which means put people in a situation that simulates the environment that they're going to be called upon if they're actually asked to fight, right? So to provide these scenario-based exercises that really prep you for the environment that you're going to see if you're ever called upon in a specific incident. And so what we tried to do is we tried to, through various means, whether it's at the end of a classroom-based course or as part of a larger scenario-based exercise, we try to put people in a situation that really simulates, as in as realistic a way as we possibly can, the environment and the threat conditions that they're going to see, and therefore they'll have that experience. They've already seen and dealt with it before, and then they'll have a better chance of responding in a way that'll be effective.
Well, I would imagine that kind of setting up an environment like that, defining what realistic scenarios are, you know, could be pretty darn challenging in terms of making that as close to a live setting as possible, right?
It is. And traditionally, you know, again, going back to large corporations and government organizations, because it's pretty hard. I mean, it just generally is. What tends to happen is that the events become further and further stretched apart, and they're bigger. So, for example, the military will have, and the government will have, one big exercise or a couple really big cyber exercises a year. You know, and they have all, you know, they have hundreds of people involved, and it's a massive undertaking to actually produce this training exercise, you know, crafting the scenario and the objectives and getting all the participants involved and making sure that the environment is set up. I mean, it's just a massive effort. And therefore, it's not really team building. It's not really going to help operators, you know, at the what we call the unit level or the small organization, you know, it's really dedicated to a more enterprise-wide, huge operation. And so the idea is, again, leaning back to my military days, every military unit, as part of their normal operating procedures, their normal daily or, you know, what they have to do to prepare themselves, is that they have to kind of carve out some of their day to train so that they're prepared when they're asked to fight. Well, the same investment, and hopefully, you know, organizations are going to start seeing that this investment is really worth it, and carving out, you know, what we used to call sergeant's time, an hour a day or, you know, a few hours a week to work on this kind of stuff, to prepare yourself to respond to certain conditions and events, is really where it's at. And I think what we're trying to do is make it easier for organizations of any size to do that, rather than just having to kind of wait for the one massive, you know, scenario-based training a year, or to do it regularly and provide them an environment that they can do it in without a whole lot of effort or cost.
So I know that most of today's security and IT teams, both in commercial settings and in government settings, are geographically distributed. So when you're constructing a scenario-based training program that's specific to the needs of a particular team, organization, military unit, you know, how do you take that aspect, that being geographically distributed, into account?
Right. Well, that's one of the big challenges. Typically what's done now is they use, VTCs, traditional type of things, to bring people together who are geographically distributed. The best approach is to try to provide them an environment that virtually brings everyone into the same facility, into the same meeting room, over, you know, all sitting around the same tabletop with all the assets that they would normally have if they're brought in together to respond to some kind of an event. But to do it over the web and make it really, really convenient. So typically from your web browser, you know, everybody has a web browser and internet access for the most part. So we try to leverage that in a new capability that we're researching and prototyping right now with some military organizations called XNet, or Exercise Network.
So what are some of your objectives for XNet? This sounds pretty intriguing.
Well, the main objective of XNet is to provide continuous access to unit-level operational readiness training and evaluation. So that's kind of the scripted, you know, objective, is make it part of their normal daily operations, whether you're in the military, a large organization, a CSIRT team somewhere, that you can log into a website and you have a network in there that you can access from a web browser. You have all of the collaboration tools that you would have if you were in the same room, physical room, whiteboards. You can look over someone's shoulder and help them with a specific task on a server or a router. You can chat with people. You can log events. You can upload information to a wiki that people on your team can see. So we have to bring everybody into the same virtual room and give them, you know, very simplified access to their resources. So what we do with XNet is we make most of the environment visual. So we'll have a network topology diagram or a network map that represents the exercise infrastructure. And people, you know, if you've been in IT anywhere, people are kind of become very accustomed to these Visio diagrams of their topology, right? And so to gain access to a specific system, maybe your intrusion detection system or your firewall or a server, rather than having them try to find this and gain access to it via some SSH client or, you know, some other means, we just have them double-click on that visual representation on the topology map and brings up direct access to that system right from within their web browser. So everything's got to be very, very convenient and easy and intuitive. Otherwise, people simply won't use it. It becomes too hard, and the infrastructure should be the absolute last thing the trainer or the instructor should be concerned with. What they should be thinking about is the objectives. What are the threats that I need to prepare my incident responders or my staff to respond to and to deal with? How can I shape a scenario so that they're going to, it'll prepare them and they'll have a greater degree of readiness if they're actually respond to this kind of event in the real world?
Let's take a candidate scenario. You talked about maybe a network intrusion or some type of event that's being represented in this kind of environment. Can you say a little bit about how many people might typically participate and how you keep the roles clear?
Sure.
and control the interaction?
Sure. Right now, the XNet platform, everyone logs in and they're a part of a team with specific roles. So it depends on kind of the scenario that we're dealing with. We have incident response scenarios. We have assessment and even penetration testing scenarios or network of defense. There's a number of scenarios that we can build, you know, custom or kind of draw from a library that we have. And when you log in to XNet via your web browser, you're within that specific role. So, for example, if you're one of the incident responders, we can give you the infrastructure that you would typically have access to, right? You may have access to your security systems, maybe your intrusion detection system, maybe you have access to your firewall and your logging server and some of the things that you would have access to. And then maybe another team might be, compartmentalized, where you have a system or a network administrator team, and they have direct access to only certain parts of the infrastructure, maybe the routers or the switches or the email systems or whatever. And so we can, you know, basically we can very easily define what parts of the topology and what their roles are, and then we just basically either gray out or give them their own topology map that they can then access the specific systems in the network that they need, that they would ordinarily have access to. On the other side, if you want to have a red team, which is a kind of a military perspective of having an attack force or an aggressor force that is trying to actually insert stimulus into the network and you know, see how the response team actually deals with that, and you can have that in, you know, kind of a scripted manner where the red team basically goes through the script and inserts controlled stimuli into the network, and then you monitor and evaluate the responders for how well they respond given their systems where they can detect and identify what's going on and then mitigate it or at least report it correctly. So there's all kinds of scenarios, but it is very role-based in that, you know, depending on what your role is in the team or in the exercise, we can control that very easily. And then we can give the actual trainer, so there's usually somebody in charge of these scenario-based events, right, someone who's kind of shaping the exercise per their environment to kind of model their own network environment and the way their teams and their security staff are organized, and they'll kind of guide us as we help them shape that exercise to really match what they're used to dealing with.
If a team wanted to get involved and define an exercise, is this a half a day event, a day event? Is
right.
It, you know, what are some of the time mm-hmm. frames?
Yeah, well, here's some examples. Right now we're piloting XNet with a few military and government organizations, and they have different requirements. So one of them is a reserve unit, and so they only get to get together one weekend a month. And typically the reserves have a bunch of military type of training and just, you know, housekeeping type of stuff that they have to do. And they only have a small, narrow amount of time that they can really dedicate to training and preparing themselves to meet their mission, right? So for them, we do it on a three-hour block on a Sunday afternoon, you know, where we give them a more targeted scenario. We call it a targeted analysis and response challenge track. Where they have to log in and they're presented with a pretty, you know, tight directive or a mission that they have to do and accomplish, and then we'll walk them through. They, you know, it kind of walks them through this scenario, and they have to respond to automated injects. So we'll have kind of predefined what we want them to respond to, and then we have what's called an exercise timeline. That's a graphical representation, which you might see as a, you know, an Outlook calendar type of thing, where you can drag and drop events onto this timeline, and then at, you know, the start of the exercise plus 5 minutes, you're going to have this particular event occur, and it'll be universally applied to all the teams across the exercise. And then because you've prepared this in advance, you know what the standard task is, what the conditions are, and what the standards or their expected response should be. So you can kind of define that, and then you can sit back as the trainer or the evaluator and say, okay, let's watch and see how well they meet the standards or what the expected response is. You can monitor that, and then you can say, okay, here's the standard response, here's the reporting, and here's the if they, you know, if you want them to, here's the recommended or the normal mitigation strategy, and you can give them a time frame to do that. So by you know, this event should be done, everyone should be through this within 30 minutes or whatever in that scenario. And then if they're not, then you can either, you know, you can give them extensions of time, or you can stop and say, okay, everybody, now we're going to walk everybody through. Everybody, watch me. So within your web browser, watch me show you what the normal response should be, or what you should do technically to mitigate this. And then we can have what they like to call in the military a hot wash or an after action report, which is basically you know everyone kind of talks about what went right, what went wrong, and what they should have done. And that really sets the stage for not only understanding your current mission readiness or your capability, but evaluating how you can then move on and build your own capability, you know, by continued training or whatever it is. So that's one approach, right? A very short, narrow, you know, three-hour targeted kind of response and analysis challenge. And then that can scale all the way up to a widely distributed, you know, week-long, hundreds of people in the environment, all logged in on different teams, going through a very complex set of exercise events. And that doesn't have to be a response necessarily. That can be targeted to whatever the mission is. So maybe they have some critical infrastructure or systems that they need to deal with that aren't necessarily secure, what you might consider normal security threats, network attack or whatever, but something anomalous in the environment, or you have failures or whatever it may be.
So it sounds like that the advanced planning in terms of the scenario definition, the roles, the timelines, the expected outcomes, you know, how the trainer kind of orchestrates the scenario, this advanced planning is really critical.
It is, but we can make it a lot easier for people. And one of the reasons, one of the ways we do that is we build all of our scenarios in a very modular way, so there could be maximum reuse, right? So we'll have a library of events and a library of scenarios or situations that we can then draw from and customize, so that, say, someone needs, hey, look, we need to really take a look at this DNS cache vulnerability or this latest, you know, exploit, or you know, we want to see how people do with some kind of environmental response. we can kind of draw from that and provide people a pretty 85% solution, and we can help them customize pretty quickly, so that way they can, they again, the whole goal of this XNet idea is to make it easy for people to practice for incident response and network defense, not to, levy this huge burden on them, because then in the end they're just not going to do it.
Well, how, if someone wanted to engage this environment, how would they actually get started?
Well, the way it works right now is we have, like I said, we're piloting this with government organizations and even, some corporations or public organizations that might want to, might have a specific strategic goal in mind. And then we would work with them. Our XNet development team would work with them to make sure that we understand the requirements, and we try to, again, take advantage of what we already have built to customize. So there's not a ton of effort involved in producing something that is really relevant to their environment, their everyday working environment. So that's one thing. So right now, it really involves us directly having an engagement or relationship with an organization. In the future, we want to have this kind of more on a service model where people can kind of dial up, choose a scenario from a drop down menu, and launch it with the push of a button. But essentially just be able to say, here's a scenario, and there's a huge library of these scenarios, and give them an interface that they can then control their user population, build their user accounts, and allow people and what role they fit in, and allow them to just log in and run through this kind of canned scenario as well. So there doesn't need to be nearly as much facilitation from the XNet development team, just kind of setting the stage for them. So that's kind of where we're going. That's not currently available, but probably will be within calendar year 09.
So, Chris, do you have some sources where our listeners could learn more either about XNet in particular or just about the concept of scenario-based training?
Yeah, actually, for scenario-based training, there's actually quite a lot of literature out there that you could find with a simple Google search. If they want to actually interface with us, monitor the CERT website. We have a demo of the XNet environment that we're putting up on the web. We have some research papers that describe the capability and some other information that people can gain access to right from CERT.org.
Well, Chris, this has been a great introduction to what I think is a very exciting and valuable new capability. So I so appreciate your time today and sharing this upcoming work with our listeners.
Hey, no problem. Glad to help.